Sunday, April the 20th.
Welcome to this Burlington Audio Podcast. We hope you will be encouraged and inspired in your faith as you listen to this message. We'd love to hear what you think. Please be in touch with us through the website. More information and many more podcasts are all at burlingtonbaptist.org.uk. Thanks for listening.
Great job, Sam. Thank you very much. Good morning, everybody. It is a good morning. I hope you'll agree. But our story begins while it was still dark. This is a story for everyone who finds themselves not in a place of joy and light, but this is a story for everyone who finds themselves in a place they wish they hadn't been. While it was still dark, Mary, she'd lost everything. Devastated, disorientated, disillusioned, despairing, broken and hopeless. Traumatized by watching the person that she'd put her trust in die naked, the most agonizing death that human beings can create. Bereft, bereaved, and horribly alone. To say it's dark is an understatement. It was dark on the outside, but for Mary it was very dark on the inside. If you've gone through something awful, you'll know that moment when you wake up and the dread of what's happened engulfs you all over again as if for the first time. That's where we find Mary as she stumbles weeping towards the tomb. For some of us today, despite the songs and the togetherness, despite our washed faces and our clean clothes, for some of us today, it's still very dark. Life has broken us, disappointed us, traumatized us. For some of us, we know what Mary might have felt, that the last shred of hope has been kicked out of us, that somehow we've watched our future die like she did, not nailed to a cross, but nailed to circumstances which we can't control. And so like Mary, we wake up early, engulfed again by the darkness, the sorrow, the pain. You don't have to work with people for very long to know that we are all too familiar with a grief that is so strong, so thick, and so heavy that it blinds us. A grief that blinds us. A grief so intense that you can't see anything else. That's what grief and loss and pain does. You can't see anything, only what you've lost. You can't feel anything, only the pain of what you are carrying. You can't hear anything, only the hopelessness of what goes on in your mind and in your thoughts. And this is how Easter Day begins. Mary stumbling through the darkness of her own soul. Tears that have so blurred her vision that she cannot see. She's blind to the hope that is literally beside her. She is blind, cannot see the Savior that is by her side. At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. She couldn't see it through her grief. She couldn't find him through her tears. She couldn't hear him through the wailing of her heart. For all of you feeling like Mary did that early Sunday morning, this is your story. This is my story. This is our story. Her moment, Mary's moment, is our moment. Her Easter today can be ours. To all who know a grief that's blinded you, pause with me, if you dare, for a moment today. Be brave enough to wipe the tears just for a few seconds, to blink a little bit and rub your eyes. Take heart to still the questions just for a minute. Those questions that race endlessly in your heart through the small hours of the morning. Just for a moment, wait, pause, see, and hear. Because a grief that blinds on that first Easter Sunday morning meets a grace that breaks through. A grief that blinds meets a grace that breaks through. Notice what happened out of the darkness. You see, out of the darkness came just one word. Out of the darkness that Mary found herself in didn't come a thesis, an explanation, or a rationalization. What came out of the darkness was not a list of demands or a set of requirements. What Mary heard was not a book of rules or hoops to jump through or hurdles to overcome. Out of the darkness, she heard just one word. Mary. Mary. And in her name, she received everything that she needed for that moment and for all moments. In her name, so beautifully and gently spoken. Her name whispered with such confidence and assurance. Her name sounding like she'd never heard it before. In her name came everything she would ever need. Mary. Mary. It's okay. Mary. I'm here. Mary. All is well. Mary. This wasn't the end of the story. Mary, we're through it. It's over. There's hope. It's a new day that will never be taken away from us. In that one word, there was untold grace breaking through into her life. So I'm inviting you this morning. If in any way you feel like Mary, I'm inviting you this morning to wipe the tears just for a moment, to have enough courage to still the voices in your head and in your heart, that you might see and listen and hear the whisper of your name. To know it's okay. To know he's here. To know that the light of the dawn has come. What we see in this story offers us a profound lesson. We always want to know why. All of the time, it's our human question. Why has this happened? Why am I facing this? Why am I feeling this way? Why have I gone through this? Why is this my reality? Why? Please hear me really carefully. The why question is a really important one. And I'm more than happy to have a why conversation with you any time. The why question is really important. But also hear this, it's not the liberating one. The why question does not bring you freedom even when you answer it. There are so many of us that have been asking the why question perhaps for decades. But we still find ourselves outside the tomb of our grief, weeping. Anyone know what I'm talking about? Who's with me? Anyone know what I'm talking about? I long to know why. And I think if I understand why, then somehow I'll feel better. Somehow I'll reach a new utopia. Somehow I'll find freedom. If only I can answer the question, why? Please listen really carefully. This is huge. I'd love you to turn to the person next to you and say, I haven't listened to anything he said yet, but this sounds important, so I'm going to listen for the next little bit. Would you say that to the person next to you now? Okay, this is really huge, everybody. You've promised the person next to you that you're going to listen. You all in? Here we go. This is huge. Mary's eyes were not opened by intellect, but by intimacy. Her life was not transformed by answers, but by his arrival. In the end, she was not changed because of theological proclamations. However true those theological proclamations are, she was changed by his presence. Not intellect, but intimacy. Not answers, but his arrival. Not our proclamations, but his presence. Whenever we are in grief or sorrow or pain, we're busy demanding to know why. And in our weeping, in our tears, we miss the living answer that is already in our midst. The question that opens the door to a new dawn is not why has this happened, but who is with me now? Not why has this happened. You can keep asking that question. It's not an unimportant question. It deserves answers. It deserves our attention. But it will not take you to freedom. You can ask why until the end of your days, but you'll remain outside the tomb of your grief. Or instead of asking why, you can open your eyes ever so gently, ever so slowly. You can listen ever so tentatively. And you can begin to discover that the truth is about who is now with you. He's here. It's okay. All is well. A new future has already dawned. We are already part of something that is now unstoppable that will go on into eternity. If you want resurrection today, I invite you to ask the question, who is with me now? And it's healing not just for you, but it's healing for everybody. Look at what happened next. A grief that blinds was met by a grace that breaks through that caused the glory to burst out. Mary is overjoyed. She's got to go. She's got to tell someone. She tells the disciples. They are also overjoyed. A joy that cannot be contained, a joy that cannot be kept quiet, a joy that is a bit like a massive celestial party popper exploding in the universe, the impact of which remains undiminished. You see, joy doesn't just lift the heart, but it changes the atmosphere. Imagine walking through a room for a moment and there's been a power cut and it's nighttime and it's pitch dark. It's heavy, it's silent. It's a bit unsettling. People are fumbling around, bumping into furniture, unsure where to go. And then somebody lights a single candle. It doesn't just help them see. It helps everybody see. The room is still, you might say, technically dark. But wouldn't you agree with me that the atmosphere in that moment has totally changed? The flicker of light brings a sense of calm, a sense of peace, a sense of purpose. People start to talk. They gather together. They speak. They encourage one another. After the darkness, there is hope in the air. That one little flame didn't just change the visibility. It changed the vibe. That's good preaching right there. Didn't just change the visibility. It changed the vibe. There's more like that. It didn't just change what you see, it changes the whole scene. Come on. When you capture some of this resurrection joy, it doesn't just lift your heart, it changes things. You can change the atmosphere in your home, in your workplace, in your street, in your family, in your community by catching this contagious resurrection joy deep in your heart, and we find it by meeting the risen Jesus. Joy gives us strength. You need some resilience? The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. You need some peace? Joy brings peace and optimism and hope. Joy heals our bodies. We know that to be medically true. Joy is a medication for our souls. We've experienced that in our journeys. Joy helps us love more freely and forgive more easily. Joy helps us celebrate, be passionate, be purposeful, be worshipful. And where does this kind of joy come from? From meeting Jesus. You can ask the why till the end of your days, but ask you today to ask, who's with you? Who's with us? Because he's with you and he's with us. And that, my friends, changes everything. So have the courage just to wipe the tears from your eyes so you can see a little bit clearer. Have the courage to still your heart so you can listen in. And in the stillness, even of the darkness, a little candle will be lit when you hear him call your name. Would you be quiet for a moment? Would you still your hearts? Would you listen in and hear him call your name? Oh, I know there are 1,000 whys. And I know it's been so dark. And I know it's been super painful. And I know it's been there such a long time. Oh, all of that's true. 1,000 whys. But there is one who that makes all the difference in the world. There is one who, whose presence changes everything. She stumbled towards the tomb, and yet she ran with purpose back to her friends, to her family. Something had forever changed. Joy is not to deny the darkness, but it's an act of sheer defiance in its presence. That we will be a candle in the darkness, and that will change everything in our lives and in our world. And there was a story of this man who was as hard as nails. And he was bound by shame and pride, determined to make a name for himself. And he did that by buying and selling slaves. He put other people in chains because he himself was in a chain. And yet one day he met Jesus. One day he was confronted by the one who brings freedom. One day he discovered the who, the one who changes everything. And because he discovered that his chains were gone, he began to release the chains of others. Because he'd been set free, he became a freedom fighter for others. Because he discovered joy, he became a contagious joy giver. May that be our story as we meet you face to face. My chains are gone. I've been set free.